Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to Bell and Sperling.
With him, Martin Bell.
And him, Johnny Sperling. Coming up on the show, we are going to be talking about Glastonbury.
Yes.
And do you think that artists should be airing their political views?
And England beat India in the cricket.
Yay!
Yes. Could this be the... Well, the turnaround.
Yeah, it was very good. It was quite close, but it was a very good performance. We're also going to be talking tennis. Abigail Johnson joins us, Love Sport tennis expert ahead of Wimbledon.
Yes, because Andy Murray's back at Wimbledon, isn't he? Shrinkflation.
Eh?
Shrinkflation. That's food that is getting smaller, and it really is. Super noodles are 20 grams lighter after they decided to make the pack smaller.
Very
smart. Don't get me started on chocolate.
Really?
Well,
because you could really eat it.
No. I'm not. You're the biggest fan of chocolate, not me.
I am. You're right.
But
in fact, don't get me started on chocolate.
Well, we'll have a talk about that later on.
Listen, we're going to be talking to Hamilton Lyndon Griffiths, writer and editor of Reed Motorsport.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton, he didn't win.
Wow,
he didn't win.
Well, there is something to do. But how can we say that? He's British.
I know, but I think somebody.
This is stupid, isn't it?
Somebody let the air out of his tyres. And we're also going to be talking to our very own Cal Halbert. Who's going to come up? We're going to talk about Newcastle.
Yeah.
And are we going to get a new manager at Newcastle?
Are they going to get?
are they going to get? And the Women's World Cup, Alex Hose joining us, sports journalist. All coming up the Bell and Sperling Show. We are here till 1:30.
Yes, we are. What do you want to start with?
I want to start with Glastonbury, John. Because, you know, look, there's been so much made of Glastonbury this year with Stormzy headlining.
Yes.
We did a whole feature on our show on Friday. Whether Stormzy should be that sort of style of music should be headlining, let's say, a festival that is predominantly guitar-based or band-based.
Yes.
You know, should a solo artist going on doing grime...
Mm.
Should he be a headliner? That was the first port of call.
Personally, absolutely not. But obviously, it's popular. I did see some clips. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I just can't watch a whole set of grime. Somebody here at Love Sport just showed me a clip of a guy that getting up on stage.
That was fantastic.
No. It was fantastic what he did. What he did for the fella. Mm. It wasn't fantastic what he sang.
No.
Or grimed, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they do.
Grimmest.
Yeah, he was a grimmest.
Sludge. That was sludge, that's called. It's a new style of music called sludge.
I think we should invent a new sludge.
Yeah, sludge.
We're going to call it sludge.
Slime.
Yeah, slime. We call it slime.
Look.
It wasn't. It's awful for me. I don't like it.
You know my feelings on.
Yes.
I've never been a rap fan, anyway.
No, but when you say that, though.
I suppose I have.
Talk about real rap. Like the rap that I used to like was Rapper's Delight. Yeah. Sugar Hill Gang.
Great, yeah.
You know, don't touch me when I'm close to the edge.
Yeah.
That, for me, was rapping.
It was. In fact, you were very good there.
It was good.
You done very. I just like. What's that? What's that bit?
That was in the bit of.
Of course it was. Yeah.
I'm close to. I mean, not to lose your head.
Yeah.
And little story for you there.
Go on.
Yeah. Phil Collins heard that record, and they were writing a new record called Mama, with Genesis.
Oh yes.
And he thought he'd nick that and put it in the middle of Mama. And Phil Collins, took artistic right and stole it.
Yeah, okay. When we do go to a break, I'm going to just let producer Josh to come in with Rapper's Delight. Just going to have to look up a bit of Rapper's Delight. Look.
Yeah.
Let me say something, though.
Go on.
I don't think that pop stars, should be giving us their political views. They're there to create music. And I know that we're going to get some callers and we're going to get some messages because we're going to put it out there today. 0208 7020 558, okay? And people are going to say, I know it's the old saying.
Yeah.
You've got a platform. Mm-hmm. Why don't you use it to get your political views over?
Yeah,
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree that if you're at a festival and let's face it, all the people have not come just to see you. They've come to see everybody that's there. So, you know, it's not a... I can understand if he's doing it to loads of... Who's doing it? Stormzy, right?
Yeah.
So Stormzy's doing it not just to his fans, but he's trying to influence other people, everyone, which is wrong.
Okay.
Doing it at a Stormzy gig, because they've all come to see you, and obviously they agree with your political convictions. So do it there, yeah. But not to a global... Well, people who have gone to see, you know, Kylie Minogue, for example, they don't want to hear your views.
How about this, then?
Go on.
How about this, right? What if you love Slime and Grime, right?
Yeah.
And you love Stormzy.
Right.
But...
You don't...
You're right-wing... You sway to the right.
I don't think you would be, would you?
Would you? Yes, why not?
Why would you?
Why would you like it?
I'm pretty sure that Morrissey fans agreed with his political convictions as well. Same as Sting... I was going to say
about Sting.
Not the police. The police were a different thing.
Yeah.
But Sting. Do you know what I mean?
Now, when Sting used to do it, Sting got all arty-farty and lefty on us, okay?
Yeah, he did.
All right? Eventually, there was enough people that said, shut up, idiot. Right? Play your music. Enough people that he did eventually go, actually,
hang on a minute, you're right.
You're right.
You know who did that brilliantly in Extras?
George Michael,
he's eating a kebab.
Yeah.
And he sat down and he said, well, what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing? No, I was fly tipping, you know. Yeah,
fly tipping.
And Annie Lennox
phoned me up, said I've got a fridge to get rid of.
Yeah.
Annie Lennox
was the one that... was dubbed on him. And then, of course, she rings Sting and he...
No, I thought it was Stuart Copeland.
No. Annie Lennox got all politically correct on him. And she phoned Sting.
Sure. I thought they dumped a fridge for Annie Lennox and then Stuart Copeland saw him dumping it and then he phoned Sting.
No, Annie Lennox it was who phoned Sting.
Oh, okay.
I think it was anyway.
All right, we'll find
but
it
what
out.
I'm saying is that, yeah, at the time it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the forest, wasn't it? The green forest.
Yeah. Well,
he went putt out
about
it.
He came on with the Brazilian fella with a disc in his lip.
Yeah.
And he went on Terry Wogan's show, didn't he?
That's
and
right.
He said, look, this fella lives in the forest.
Yeah.
Right? And he's, don't worry about the disc in his lip.
How did he get that disc in his lip?
Just don't worry about it. Everyone kept going, Sting, what's the matter with a fella's lip? No, don't worry about his lip.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Don't overlook it. Overlook the disc in his lip.
We're here about the trees.
We're about the trees.
Right.
I know it looks like it's got a little bit of the tree in his lip, but look, forget it.
Stop it. Stop asking about his lip. Right.
Don't worry.
And in the end, people just said, Sting, leave it, will you? Let's play some of your music. Let's hear Message in a Bottle.
Yeah.
And
try and find his 6 million that you didn't even know he'd lost.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? His accountant nicked 6 million off him. 6 million for years.
Mm.
Sting didn't even have a clue.
Yeah. I know a keyboard player that was playing keyboards for him.
Yeah.
And he'd had about 10 quid. That's what he was worth. I won't say his name, but he was playing keyboards with him and guitar, strangely enough, for about 3 or 4 years. And Trudy, the wife.
Trudy, yeah.
Trudy, the wife.
Yeah.
Very shrewd businesswoman.
Oh, gotcha.
Got involved in some investments and said to the keyboard player, do you want to get involved? And he said, well, I've only got 9 quid.
Yeah.
And I've spent £1 on an ice cream. And they said, don't worry. He got involved. Millions.
No.
Made millions.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cheap, little session keyboard player, ended up with millions out of it.
Because of that? Not because of his ability to play keyboards?
No, because he was involved with them and they sort of got into an investment. And nice story, isn't it? Getting back to Stormzy.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Listen, I was a big George Michael fan.
You certainly was.
And,
me too.
And I love George Michael.
Yeah.
Whenever he started going political on stage...
Mm. He didn't do it that much, did he?
He did, actually,
John. Did he?
Well, think about the song that he came out with about George Bush.
What was that?
Wagging the Dog, I think.
Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it, George. I want to hear your lovely voice. I want to hear your great songs.
Yeah.
I want to see that silly 80s dance that you do.
Yeah.
Right? Pushing your glasses back onto your nose with your middle finger. And that's what I want to see George for.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your political views. I've not come here to see that.
No.
And And I don't want to see that headlining at Glastonbury.
No, no.
You know? So what I'm saying is, if you are, let's say, right of centre.
Yes.
But you love Stormzy.
Yeah.
Surely that's going to bore the life out of you.
As I said, I don't think that many Stormzy fans are not with him politically.
You don't think so?
Nah, I don't think so. But I think a lot of the people there at Glastonbury certainly weren't with him politically. And I don't believe in pushing your views on people when they'd ever specifically come to see you.
What do you think about him wearing a stab vest?
Pardon?
Wore a stab vest. That was
right. I'll be honest with you. Is half a clue for you. I haven't seen it. Okay. So I'm sorry about that, but it wasn't something. I don't like Storms. I've seen him being interviewed, and he looks a very nice fella.
Yeah, he actually comes over
He really does come over really well, and apparently he's a really nice guy. But that doesn't mean that I like his music.
The only thing that's going...
Yeah, what's a stab vest anyway?
It was designed, actually, I think...
I've never heard of a stab vest.
Yeah, it was a Union Jack stab vest, but it was...
is that where it's...
I'll be honest with you, I thought it looked quite good.
Did it? Is that a stab vest? Is obviously like a...
Yes, a stab vest.
To stop you getting stabbed. Yeah. Right, yeah.
But it was in a Union Jack, I think. And strangely enough, I did hear from one of our good sources that a good friend of ours designed the rest of his clothes for his set, Jake Hall, Greg Hall's son. Jake.
Oh, Jake!
Yeah, Jake, so he's got into...
What, is he, he's designer, is he? Yep. Oh, good on you, Jake.
Formerly of Towie, Jake.
Yeah, he's a lovely boy, Jake.
He is a nice boy. Yeah, I think he designed the rest of his outfit.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to message Jake after this and say, could you design a couple of outfits for us for the radio?
Oh, so hang on a second. I know that Jake was with Amber Downing.
That's right.
And our good friend Mark Downing's daughter, who's also in Towie. Yeah. Or is still, I don't know. But
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
We could be in Towie again, and we don't even know it.
Can you imagine?
Do you ever watch it?
No, never ever watched it in my life. I'm very proud of that.
Have you not?
Never.
Right.
Never. Yeah. I saw the first...
I signed up to do I was the first one to sign a contract to do it.
Yeah.
And then pulled out after 3 weeks of filming.
Gotcha.
And decided that it was appalling.
Yeah, and you were right.
I think I was.
But I did watch the first bit of the episode. And I'll be honest with you, the only reason I watched it was I heard that there was going to be a bit cheeky and showing on Vajazzlin, or whatever it's called.
Vajazzlin, that's right.
Yeah. And I watched a bit and I thought, that's boring.
Have you had a Vajazzlin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Of course.
It's a terrible fault.
Yeah.
By the way, just to let you know, Banksy apparently made the stab vest. He designed it. Now, wait a minute. How do we know Banksy did it? Because we don't know who Banksy is, do we?
We don't know who Banksy is.
We sort of do, don't we? Love Sport. I said a hip hop, the hip to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocket to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Yeah. You listen to Bell and Spurly.
No.
Now that's rap.
Ah, that was great. And you know one thing about Rapper's Delight? It was a story. Do you remember the bit when he goes home and he's got the girl and he's gone home with her?
Yeah.
And it's all a story.
Of course. But there again...
He's at the run out.
Okay, all rap is a story, okay?
And but some of it...
Okay, it's the same with Stormzy, though. Stormzy's still telling a story.
No, he is.
It's just that we don't like the style of...
No, I don't. It's too aggressive. For me, that's cool. That's a hip. Don't stop rocking to the bang bang. You know, it's all that.
Wimbledon.
Yes.
Wimbledon starts today. Britain's two-time singles champion Andy Murray will make a welcome return to Wimbledon in the doubles after missing last year's championships with a career-threatening hip injury. Mm. And we are joined now by Abigail Johnson, Love Sport tennis expert.
Yes.
Morning, Abigail.
Good morning to you.
Do you remember, Abigail, there was a program, you don't remember it, years ago, it was a thing called Abigail's Party, and it was a one-off play by Mike Lee. Fantastic play. I always think of that when I meet an Abigail. You don't remember?
They had that, actually. They restaged that, didn't they, about a year ago or more recently.
They certainly did. And did you ever see it?
I did not, no. I knew some of the people in it, which is how I was aware of it. But,
you should have seen
not
it,
often Abigail. You see another Abigail, you know?
So no, it's right, it's a fantastic play.
Abigail, before we talk about tennis, did you see any of Glastonbury?
I did not, no. Okay. Oh, no, I saw the occasional clip online, actually. Lewis Capaldi.
Right,
Lewis Capaldi, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Not a big Kylie fan then, Abigail?
No, I mean, I was working at an event last week. So, yeah, I was kind of removed from Glastonbury and fully into the tennis. So.
That's it. That's what you want. I'll tell you what, Abigail, that's a good job because you're a tennis expert. So,
well, do you know what? To start with, at least the weather looks good for Wimbledon, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No. It's a new reality we're living in here because we had a heat wave for Wimbledon last year and looks like the same thing might be coming this year. So I don't know, are we still in the UK? I mean, we were last I looked, but it doesn't feel like it. Not complaining, though.
No, let's not complain, Abigail.
Listen, I'm going to flick straight to this. Andy Murray is back in the doubles. Will he go in as favourite?
First of all, I wish people were this interested in doubles before Andy Murray started playing it. It's funny, isn't it? Suddenly it's like the most interesting discipline.
But, Abigail, I said that last week. I said, the thing is about doubles, I used to watch like the men's, say McEnroe day, when I used to watch McEnroe versus Borg, for example, I'd watch McEnroe and Borg, or Borg beat McEnroe, or whatever it was, and then I'd go out and play in the street where the doubles was. I didn't want to watch the doubles, you know?
Yeah, no, it's funny because my older brother is not so much a tennis fan. He says that doubles is the most interesting to watch because there's more going on, and I definitely see that argument. But in Murray's case, you know, it does mean, because he's got another player on his side of the court, maybe less stress on that hip.
Yes.
So obviously he's only playing doubles, so fully locked in and focused on that. Won Queens alongside Feliciano Lopez. It's a bit of a short time span to change partners, but he's coupled up with Pierre-Hugues, who is a phenomenal doubles player and won the title in 2016. So, I mean, you can't really ask for a more quality partner, really. And if they can get through the first round, there's definitely chances, I would say, for them to lift the trophy. And I would add, especially if Hugues goes out of singles, he's playing right now against Kevin Anderson, who reached the final last year. If Hugues gets booted out of singles, he's got to focus all his attention on doubles, which is brilliant for Murray, because you've got two players there who are fully invested in this one event.
Right. Okay. Well, just I want to go on to Joe Konta and Kyle Edmund, but just before we finish on Murray, what's this news that he may play mixed doubles with Serena Williams?
That's non-news, I think. Everyone's been being asked, would you play doubles with Andy Murray if he asked you? It's kind of the question to ask at the moment. And yeah. Serena was asked it, tongue-in-cheek. She said she was available. But, I mean, Serena's very much focused on that singles title, and she struggled a bit at the slams the last couple of them. So she wants to be fully locked in on that event. And I would be shocked, I think, to see her playing mixed with Murray.
What about our British hopefuls going into this tournament? Who's looking strongest?
In terms of form, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, Konta obviously had that brilliant run on clay and went to the semis of the French Open, had a really strong clay court season as a whole. Maybe set her back a bit for the grass courts. There was less time to recover and kind of adjust to a different surface. But, you know, she's got a very winnable first-round match against Anna Bogdan. And with Konta, you know, she kind of thrives a bit at Wimbledon. And if she can get past that first round, there's definitely the potential for her to get going. So I definitely have my eye on Konta. Now, this guy, Paul Jubb, who's a teenager, I was one of a handful of people probably courtside when he got his first main draw challenger win two, three weeks ago. Not very well known in the UK because he's been playing college tennis. He's been over in America. But he picked up a couple of really good wins in Eastbourne last week over top 100 caliber opponents. And he opens against João Sousa, who's ranked, I think, 69 or something in the world. It's a winnable match. It's against a Portuguese player who's probably more comfortable on a surface like clay. So, you know, if Jeb comes through his first round, I'm sure that he will be talked about all the more. He's made a few headlines in the past few days.
Yeah. And what about the women's singles? There was one last year by Germany's Angelique Kerber, who starts on centre court tomorrow, doesn't she, at 1 o'clock. Is it expected to be another wide-open contest?
Pretty much, I would say. I think there are some names at Wimbledon, for example, a lot more people, I think, will be counting Serena as a lead contender because of her brilliant success on grass over the years. The thing with the women's draw is the top quarter is absolutely stacked. It's absolutely brutal. You've got world number one, Ashley Barty, former champions in Garbini Muguruza, Serena Williams, Angelique Kerber, Maria Sharapova. You know, they're all in there and all crammed together. And whoever comes out of that quarter is going to really have played their way into form. But at the same time, at the other side of the draw, you've got Naomi Osaka, who's now seeded number two, has a bit of pressure off her, and she's got a nice opening few rounds, and that might be just what she needs to get some confidence under her belt. So, as you say, you know, pretty open and pretty difficult to call.
And on the men's singles, Djokovic still favourite?
It's between Djokovic and Federer, you know. I'd be slightly more inclined to go with Djokovic just because of the mental aspect and how that's going to play out later in the tournament. But I'm never writing off Federer, you know. Eight titles here. 2017 came through strong to win it again after so many people had written him off. So I think it's between Djokovic and Federer largely. And if Nadal can come through that horrendous opening few rounds, then I think he can be counted into the mix as well.
How long do you think? I mean, let's face it, he's a machine, Federer, isn't he?
He's a beautiful man.
I mean, beautiful. How long do you think, seriously, he could go on? I mean, could he go over 40 and be the first, I mean, you know, for Wimbledon champion over 40? I mean,
I suppose he
needs
a couple of the others, the main runners, to be injured at that point.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I see him playing into his 40s. I've said that for probably a couple of years now since he came back. I mean, there is a point where age is just a number. If he's still ranked, I mean, he's top three in the world, seeded number two at Wimbledon, and who cares what his age is if he's winning matches?
That's true,
he's kind of made for this sport, you know, so I definitely see him playing into his 40s at the moment. He seems to enjoy himself enough. He seems to count himself with enough chances. So, yeah, definitely counting him in for the long run, I would say.
And in your professional opinion, Do you think that Andy Murray could see him back playing singles?
Oh, 100%. I've said this the whole time. Yeah, I think he's coming back to singles soon, I would say. Before the end of the year, I'd be surprised if he doesn't make a singles comeback within the next couple of months, really. He's very ambitious, very focused, and playing without pain, so why not?
Yeah, if you're playing without pain, I suppose it's... I mean, if you play like that with pain, what's it going to be like without pain? Let's face it.
Exactly. Just before we go, Abigail, just want to ask you, who would you have liked to seen headline at Glastonbury?
Oh, my word.
Just pull anyone out of the bag. Who's your favourite artist?
Oh, I don't know. Leona Lewis is so underrated, you know. She's fantastically versatile, and I don't think she gets the credit she deserves. So, yeah, I'd stick Leona up there.
Didn't she get dropped by Simon Cowell, by Psycho?
She did, yeah.
There's all these disputes, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think they've made it up now, but she's not with him anymore.
No, she's not, is she? No, no.
No.
Well, there's a controversial one.
Okay.
Leona, we'll put that down. Abigail... says Leona Lewis. There we are.
It's another one. It's not very Glastonbury, but still a great
singer. I don't think she ever did Glastonbury, did she?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No game, is it? But no, great singer. Listen, great
She
singer.
Did a film, I think, a couple of years ago.
Did she?
Yeah, she should stick to singing. But there we go.
Abigail, thanks ever so much. No doubt we're going to be speaking to you.
All over.
In the next coming week.
Yes.
Abigail Johnson there, Love Sports tennis expert.
Thank you, Abigail.
Funny you just said that about Federer. And you sort of look at tennis players, that it's so demanding on their body, especially playing singles.
Yes.
Now, we know that, you know, a few of the footballers drifted into the 40, Teddy Sheringham, Ryan Giggs.
Ryan Giggs did, didn't
certain
he?
Players like, but
Stanley Matthews was still playing at 50.
Well, he's still playing.
Yeah, and he's been dead for 35 years.
You can't believe it, can
no,
you?
No, I mean, that's he's still playing. That's how good he is.
He's unbelievable, isn't he? Look, it's a team game. But what I'm saying is, with tennis, okay, you're on your own.
Right.
Okay? It's the same with boxing.
No, absolutely. Same with boxing. Same with snooker.
You've got to keep
snooker
beating.
On your own?
Yeah, but look, it's not exactly physically demanding. What we said...
Mentally, though.
Okay, but we said to Jimmy White and players like that, and who do we have on? Not Doug Mountjoy.
Not Doug.
Willie Thorne.
Willie Thorne. Doug Mountjoy is what you pick
Kirk
out.
Kirk Stevens.
Kirk.
Tony Meo.
Hey. Oh, dear. Bill Werbenick, come on.
Ray Reardon. Watch out.
John Spencer.
Oh, stop it. You know, their hand and eye coordination
and
the concentration is what goes with them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what Willie said.
By the way, you know, we just reeled off a few players.
Yeah.
All of them are old. Now do the new ones.
Judd Trump.
I can't.
Ronnie.
Yeah, Ronnie, yeah. But who?
I mean, John Higgins.
Yeah, John Higgins.
Hey, what's this one?
What?
John Parrott. John Parrott.
Yeah, but John Parrott's old.
He is, yeah. John Parrott.
But I always say that about snooker. They were all like superstars of the
Ali
game.
Carter.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, hang on, he's putting it on the thing for you. That's cheating.
No, but look, all I'm saying is about tennis players, it's so demanding on your Achilles, your calves.
Yes, no, obviously.
you know, just tennis. Everything.
Well, tennis, of course, is a mental game as well. I mean,
it is, yeah.
You know, it's incredible. I mean, we used to watch Andy Murray. Well, I watched him last
year. Why don't you play tennis? You're mental.
I'll tell you what. Do you know what? I've only ever tried to play it once.
Have you really?
Yeah.
But your family play tennis. Why did you not get into
no,
it?
No, my nephew plays tennis.
He was like the top in Essex, wasn't
he? Top in Essex, yeah. Essex chairman. I think in England, actually, at one point.
Was he?
He's coaching now.
Is he?
Yeah. He coaches up in the Redbridge Sports Centre.
And you're a coach driver?
And I most definitely am a coach driver. This is Love Sport. Shrinkflation, right?
Shrinkflation.
Super noodles are cut down by 10 grams from 100 grams to 90 grams, but the price has remained the same.
So what this is, what we're getting is a lot of foods are being reduced.
Yeah.
Okay, somehow. The packet's a bit smaller.
Well, I always say tonight, a Big Mac is nowhere near as big as a Big Mac used to be.
I'm not sure that you're right.
I'm not wrong.
We're going to go and get one afterwards.
No.
I just think... that your hands have got bigger.
Maybe they have.
Yeah.
But they're definitely not... I'll tell you what, it's as big.
Your mouth.
No, my mouth is bigger. Mm. The Double Whopper.
Right.
Double Whopper with cheese from Burger King is still as big.
Well, there you go.
They're great burgers, though.
All right.
I'm not saying one's better than the other.
All right. Jaffa Cakes.
Yes.
From 12 in a pack down to 10 in a pack.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
Now, when you eat a Jaffa Cake...
Oh, I love a Jaffa Cake.
You do the old
one. How do you eat a Jaffa Cake? Right, here's how I eat a Jaffa Cake. Mm. Now, you know you've got... It's round, and you get a little edge at the edge.
Eat round the edge.
So it's just the chocolate and the orange bit with the biscuit underneath. And then eat the chocolate and the orange bit off of the biscuit. And then just leave that little round bit in the middle. I eat it like that.
You're a weirdo. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I've always eaten it like
that. Okay. All right. So when you have a Big Mac and chips, do you put the chips in the side bit, like sort of open the plastic bit?
Yes.
Chips on the left.
Yes.
Do you eat all the chips before you eat the burger?
Always.
Do you?
Yes.
A lot of people do, yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. If it was on your... Chips first. If it was on your plate...
Yes.
You probably wouldn't do it.
No, I would. I always eat chips first. What about a roast dinner?
Roast dinner. No,
now, some people.
I mix that up.
Yeah, I mix it up, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, this is the one that I cannot get. I'll get my head around.
Yeah.
Walnut whips, right?
No longer include the walnut.
There's no walnut.
Well, so, they're obviously not called walnut whips anymore.
They're called whips.
They're called whips. But why have they ditched the walnut?
It's probably expensive.
Here's the thing, though.
But I bet you're still paying the same money.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing for me. I'm pleased about it.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Because I always got rid of the walnut.
So did I. That's probably why they got rid of it. Nobody ate the walnut.
No.
I'll tell you what they
always got rid of that. I can't stand walnuts.
They go in the shop and they go, it's like the salesman for walnut whips.
Yeah.
Right? They say to the fella behind the counter, some of these walnuts on the floor. And the bloke says, nobody eats them.
Oh, here's my favourite. One of my favourites. Toblerone has gone 400 grams to 360.
Well, that's really cutting corners.
So hang on a second. So when it was shrinkflation, I thought though this bit was about food getting smaller, but it's not. It's the quantity.
Yeah, but I think food. It's the same, isn't it? What are you talking about?
No, it's not the same. Of course, it's not the same. I'm talking about if a Jaffa cake was made smaller. That's what I thought it was.
Okay, there's 12 in a... There's 10 in a pack rather than 12.
No, I'm just talking about the size.
You're getting less for your money.
I told you, I went out the other day, saw a Yorkie sitting there. Mm. I thought, oh, my God, I haven't had one of them for years.
And you don't even drive a lorry.
Exactly. Right. Do you remember the advert?
Of course I do.
No one will remember
that's
that.
That's why I said it.
Big Yorkie. It was a big chunky
the
thing.
The blue one or the purple one?
The blue one.
I like the purple one, and I'll still eat
which
the
had raisins in it, right?
Raisins and biscuit.
That's right. It was a bit smaller.
It's smaller, yeah.
Not just smaller, Sam. Mm. I mean smaller.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you about this. Go back to the Toblerone.
Go on.
400 grams reduced down to 360 grams, okay? But you make this up because when you come out of the airport, you always buy three for a tenner.
Yes.
Right? And you end up buying more. Toblerones are very good at selling their
Toblerone.
Because they will do three for a tenner, and so you end up buying them.
Remember the song? Toblerone. out on its own. Yeah. That's Toblerone. It was the best bit with Triangle the Chocolate.
It's not very Stormzy, is it?
No, but it was a good song.
You know? In fact, why don't we do a... go on. Can't we just do a track this week based on Stormzy? Do it grime. Do the Toblerone advert.
No, I won't enjoy doing it.
Right, let's do the Toblerone advert as a grime mix. Right?
Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm up for it.
Wear a stab vest.
Another one of my favourites. I still like them. Mm-hmm. I still like fish fingers.
Yep.
They've been 12 in a pack to 10 in a pack.
Bird's eye fish fingers. 12 down to 10.
12 down to 10.
Well, this is what I'm saying. But you're still paying the same money. So you've lost two fish fingers.
You've lost two fish fingers.
Yeah.
It used to be 12. They're right,
actually. I bet that's painful.
Do you like fish fingers? Fish finger sandwich. Good night.
Yep, very nice fish finger sandwich. Only had that recently, round the corner.
At the Prince William Harry.
Yeah. The only thing with fish finger sandwich, John, should you not have tartar sauce in it?
Yes.
Tartar sauce?
Yes, you should.
And then as you eat it, you go, tartar. It's true, isn't it?
Well, you know McDonald's fillet of fish.
Yeah.
That has tartar sauce in it.
It does. And the other thing is, with a fillet of fish that you didn't realise, it has a lump of cheese on it.
Yeah, I did. I love fillet of fish, and it has got a great big lump of cheese in it, which I didn't even know.
What other shop do you ever go in that you buy fish, and they go, hang on a minute, son, just as you're leaving, let me stick a bit of lamb of cheese on that. Sorry, mate, I'm not having cheese on my fish.
Well, you know, you see, you've gone mad. You're obviously not a fan of fine dining.
Where do you have cheese on your fish?
A cheese sauce on a fish is...
It's not a cheese sauce,
yes,
is it?
Yes.
This is a lump of cheddar or
whatever. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Not really.
Of course it is.
I don't walk out of the fish shop, do I?
Right.
And put all salt and vinegar on my fish and chips to go, hang on, mate. You forgot your big lump of cheese.
It was a different fish.
What's the saying?
No, you've got to know your culinary, you know.
You can't even
stuff.
Say it.
Culinary.
Yeah.
Mr. Kipling Angel Slices. Never been a fan.
No, me either.
Like Mr. Kipling's apple pies. Now, you can roll them up any time you like.
Mm-hmm.
The Angel Slices, 9 in a pack to 8 in a pack. Well, that's not much, is it? I wouldn't care. I don't like Angel Slices.
Yeah, but look.
Yes.
This is the whole reason why people are just cutting a little bit out. They're cutting it down. You'll still buy them because you won't go, I'm not buying them. There's one less.
But do you know what it is due to, isn't it? It's the obesity thing. They're trying to stop you from you know, if you're buying...
Okay, so do you think by eating 10 Jaffa Cakes rather than 12, you're going to lose weight?
No, I just think you're going to buy two packets instead of one.
Exactly. Right, you're going to get 20, isn't it? Look, I think the fact is, everyone's cutting corners, but we're still charging the same money. So it's right, shrinkflation means we're getting less for what we're paying for than we used to. Mm. And did I tell you the that situation about a fella?
Yeah.
He went to a toothpaste manufacturer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he said, I've got an idea of how you can make a lot more money.
Yes.
And they said, well, how? He said, I want to sign a confidentiality agreement and I want $250,000 advance, right? Mm. And he said, I will, you know, save you so much money, okay?
Yeah.
And so, do you know what he did? They paid him $250,000 advance, and he said, I'll show you how to do it.
Yes.
You know the top of the toothpaste, where the toothpaste comes out?
Mm.
He made it 2 millimetres bigger, right? Which meant, when you squeeze your toothpaste out, there's more toothpaste comes out because the hole is bigger, so the toothpaste is finished quicker.
Oh.
Right. So you had to go and buy a new one. So it might have, let's say a toothpaste may last you 3 months.
Yeah, this should last you a month and a half.
Exactly. Right, so you have to go and buy it again. Wow. They paid him $250,000. It's a great story, isn't it?
Jesus. and he had that idea. Here's something that will increase your sales.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
What other things do you think? Okay, there's another thing, by the way. Twix are smaller.
I don't like Twix.
Do you not?
Nope.
Let me tell you how I eat a Twix.
Go on.
I bite the toffee and the chocolate off the top, right? And I leave the biscuit.
Yeah.
And I eat the biscuit afterwards. Now, do you think that's weird?
I'm not really familiar with Twix.
You're not?
I don't like biscuit and chocolate together. I'm not a biscuit. I like...
burgers?
No, I like burgers. Yeah. I like chocolate biscuits. Mm. I like chocolate digestives.
Oh, stop doing that. I hate that when you do that.
Why?
That's just all it makes me feel ill.
You know. I love chocolate digestives.
Yeah.
Have you ever?
Okay, what about just normal digestives?
Yeah, love them.
All right, once you start eating one.
Oh, forget it. Forget about it. Have you tried, though, the, you know, the alternative to the McVitie's one?
No.
Which is the, your normal, and they're about a pound cheaper.
Right.
They're the same.
Right. Are they really?
Absolutely.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll have a look at it.
Yeah.
Listen, we are going to play our Frey Bentos song that we wrote for Love Sport. This was on the story, back of the story, that I think Patrick and Kelvin did earlier in the year.
They did a story on Frey Bentos because there's no meat left in the pies.
Well, there's...
Funny enough, though, let me just say this. Mm. I had a Frey Bentos the other day, and there was plenty of meat in the pie, so they might have increased it.
It was reduced. It was reduced.
It was definitely reduced.
They did reduce it. Yeah. But on the back of our song, they may have put the meat back in.
Okay. Well, here it is. Bentos burning.
Well, wait a minute. Just before we do, I just wanted to say... we are going to talk about the cricket because the cricket last night was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, let's hope
because
we
it looked
New
like
England.
India was going to come back. I really did think it. We were smashing sixes all over the show, and I thought, do you know what? We've ended. What was it? 336 that we got, and I thought, there's no way they can get anywhere near that. Mm. And it started to get a bit squeaky bum time.
Well, I've got squeaky bum time now. Frey Bentos.
Frey Bentos, you made us cry. There's not much meat in the bleeding pie. Yeah, yeah. I'll buy a pie in a tin, steak and kidney or chicken. I think I'll have it for dinner. But now it's on my plate. It's looking such a state. This pie has really gotten thinner. In the gravy, the meat's been given the chop. In the gravy, so now there's only a load of slop. In the gravy, I think I'll take it back to the shop. In the gravy, in the gravy,
the stainless pie.
In the gravy, I said, can you find any meat? In the gravy, he said it's there but it's discreet. In the gravy, I said this pie's not complete. In the gravy, in the gravy, Frey Bentos, you've made us cry. There's not much meat in the bleeding pie.
Love Sport.
You are back with Bell and Sperling. We've been asking you, give us a call, send us a WhatsApp, 0208 70 2558. Do you think it was right for Stormzy to air his political views whilst headlining at Glastonbury?
Yeah.
When we do come back, John, we're talking a bit more music, I do want to talk about Billie Eilish. The 17-year-old absolutely stormed it for me.
Yeah. Stormzy didn't storm
Stormzy
it.
Stormzy didn't. Not for me. Not for me. Definitely not for me. Billie Eilish, 17-year-old. She's incredible. Mm. Stage presence and a pop star. Same with Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, she's a pop star.
Pop star.
Yeah.
We've lost pop stars,
yeah.
It's all a bit nice.
Do you know who is still a pop star? And I know she gets loads of flack. But I love it because Madonna is still controversial. She still sits on Graham Norton's couch and you're going, what's she going to say?
All right.
What's she going to do? What's she going to wear? She looks outrageous.
Yeah, she does.
She looks outrageous.
So you pop stars.
And she's still a pop
you
star.
You want your pop stars to look like that.
You want your pop stars to be outrageous.
I'll tell you, he's a bit of a pop
star.
And
outspoken.
He's a bit of a pop star. Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Okay. He is a bit of a pop star of the motor racing world.
Yes, he is.
But this time he lost.
He's had the rug pulled on from under him.
Oh, and we're sort of half happy, aren't we?
I didn't say that right.
He's
had the rug pulled from under him.
That's it.
Thank you.
You got there in the end. We're joined now by Hamilton Lyndon Griffiths, friend of the show,
and
writer.
And my favourite name.
Writer and editor of Reed Motorsport. Where did it go wrong for Lewis Hamilton,
Well, it's a great result for Formula One. It was an important result for Formula One, really. You know, where it's really put a smile back on everyone's face. It was a race that we needed. And where did it go wrong for Lewis? Who knows? I mean, Mercedes just weren't on the pace this weekend. It was a real surprise about how slow they were compared to Red Bull and Ferrari, considering that, well, obviously Ferrari has got a straight line speed advantage compared to Mercedes, but. And Red Bull actually haven't really shown that much speed on most of the circuits this year. And Mercedes have found a nice balance with their car this year, although they've scrubbed off some speed on the straight line. they've found a balance where they've been able to, with their car design, has meant that they're now fast in the corners as well, more than ever.
So we've got a bit more competitive going into this, because obviously we've been speaking in recent weeks and we're saying it is getting a bit boring.
Well, last week I think we spoke to you and it was like, oh God, this is
what we're going
to
do.
This is getting depressing.
Well,
yeah.
We thought about letting some of Lewis Hamilton's tyres down, didn't we, to make it a bit more competitive?
Yeah.
I was going to say, obviously,
complete reversal.
There was this incident, wasn't there? Okay, with Verstappen and Charles Leclerc, and why has it taken 3 hours to make a decision?
I don't know. It really was ridiculous. I mean, it was the right decision in the end. Thank God. That was a great decision from the stewards to award Verstappen the victory. He keeps hold of it.
It's almost like a jury, isn't it? Goes and sits down for 3 hours.
I don't know what. I mean, imagine if you go to the World Cup final or Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you see one team win, and then 3 hours after it's finished, and you still don't know who's won.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous. In this day and age of of technology, it's just no need. But there's no excuse for that amount of time.
Was it a similar situation to the incident between Vettel and Hamilton in Canada?
I think it was. It had its sort of similarities, but I think it was different based on the fact that it was. I mean, Verstappen. It was hard but fair for me. You know, the problem was that Leclerc gave him so much room. He invited Verstappen to go for the gap, and the gap was huge. And you know, it was a bit of wibbling, but it was hard but fair racing. I don't see anything wrong with it, so it was the right decision. Hopefully, it's a precedent for the stewards to now say, okay, with these sorts of incidents, we're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
We're not going to interfere. Which I hope is the case.
And there's some lovely tributes, wasn't there, to Niki Lauda.
Yeah, it was a lovely tribute. Yeah, they've renamed the first corner after him.
Yeah, we said that. We said that they should do something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that was a nice tribute because he's, you know, he's such an icon in the sport, such a huge loss.
Yeah,
when he passed away last month.
Yeah.
So.
Just going back to the Verstappen and Leclerc. But does this mean now that we've got a little bit more competitive racing? So, I mean, I think he tried to get past him 3 or 4 times, didn't he? But which is what we want to see. Mm. In the old days, that's how it was. They were wheel-to-wheel and, you know, the sort of, like we said, about some of the straight-line speed, they would pull out of the slipstream and try and get the drag. And we've not seen that for a while, have we? In fact, when somebody does get past somebody now, that's the end of it. There's no battling back.
Well, Austria was a complete reversal of France. The difference was is that we had a mix of strategies among the drivers. There was overtaking. We actually had an overtake for the race lead with 2 laps to go.
Yeah.
That was the key to making an exciting race. So it was awesome.
Yeah. And do you know what? I used to love it. I go back to some of Mansell's days and stuff like that. They didn't have enough fuel to make the rest of the race. And I've got an idea. Mansell was way in the lead and he had 1 lap to go and run out of fuel. And then the people's engines would blow up. It made it interesting.
Yeah, it did. I think you're talking about, I think it was, Canada. He was waving to the crowd.
He was,
And, he was thinking he was going to win. And then he slowed that much that the engine cut out and then he ground to a halt and then was stuck just with a few corners to go.
It's a choker, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. What do you think this is going to do to Hamilton's ego, if you like? You know, I mean, he's won everything. Will it, you know, give him a little bit of a...
No, I don't think it will deter him. I think, given that it's the British Grand Prix, the next race in 2 weeks' time, he'll be back on the pace. The energy of the crowd will give him a boost.
Yeah.
So he'll be back on form.
We're just going to say about that. Silverstone next, potentially the last one there for a while, unless they can get an agreement between Silverstone and Liberty Media. Do you think that's more realistic? Are we going to be looking at a potential street race around London at some point? I mean, I just, you know, obviously they had the Formula E, they did it in London, didn't they?
Yeah,
but do you think we could have a street race in London?
I hope not, personally. I just can't comprehend the race being run in London. I think it's too chaotic.
Yeah.
It's too over the top. You've got so much to plan in a busy city. And Silverstone's got so much character. It's part of the history. It held the first ever race in the world.
There was so much disruption, wouldn't there, for Londoners? I mean too much.
What would they do with the cycle lanes? You know, I mean, yeah. There'd be an uproar, wouldn't they?
It would, yeah.
I nearly got run over by a cyclist this morning, by the way.
I did that the other day. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. I could hear some ding, 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 ding. Yeah. I didn't know where it was coming from. Then I looked. He nearly knocked me over.
On a Boris bike.
Yeah. He's got, watch where you're going, mate.
Should have said, it's my road, not yours.
Yeah.
Listen, Hamilton, before you go, obviously we had Glastonbury at the weekend. Stormzy stormed the stage. But is there, and we were saying it's not very Glastonbury, that sort of style of music. Who would you have liked to have seen headline at Glastonbury?
Ooh, well, I'm a big Oasis fan, but I don't think that's possible nowadays.
No, it's a shame, though, isn't it? I'd like to see that too.
But he did. Liam perform, didn't
not
he?
Not the same.
He did. Yeah, I saw Liam perform.
Yeah,
but not the same, though, is it?
But you think a more guitar based style band should be fit into Glastonbury?
I mean, I like Stormzy. I don't have any problem with him. I'm not a huge fan of his, but I like some of his songs. But I think it would have been nice to have maybe a band of some sort of Oasis style, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, we're going to put Oasis down there. We had Abigail Johnson, our terrorist correspondent.
She wanted Leona Lewis.
Leona Lewis.
Which is a very strange one, Abigail, I must say. But not, there you go.
It's not very Glastonbury either. No. As always, Hamilton, thanks ever so much, mate. Yeah. And we shall be talking to you coming up to the Silverstone Grand Prix.
Yes, of course we will, yeah.
Hamilton Lyndon Griffiths there, writer and editor of Reed Motorsport.
And my favourite name.
Wonderful name.
That and our girl, the Snow. What's her name?
Cecilia Snowball.
Cecilia Snowball.
It's wonderful.
What a great name that is. Yeah. I want to meet Cecilia. Yeah. Cecilia, I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you. We should sing that to her next time.
I think we should.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.